Matthew chapter 13, beginning in the first verse. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. This, as you know, is probably the most popular parable that Jesus taught. It's the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soils. And Jesus actually explains the meaning of this parable in verses 18 to 23 in this same chapter, and we'll look at that, the Lord willing, in just a moment. This parable is also recorded in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and it's the first of 7 kingdom parables in Matthew chapter 13. This chapter records Jesus' teaching by the seaside. The throng of people was so great that he actually sat in a boat and he preached from just offshore. And I've often wondered what kind of sound projection that Christ must have had to preach in the open air on the seaside and for the people to hear him. But he's teaching them lessons in this chapter about the kingdom of God. Here we have history's greatest teacher speaking about a topic that is so vast that the greatest Christian theologians cannot completely grasp it. And what he does is simply tell a few stories. The kingdom of heaven is like this ordinary example. The kingdom of heaven is like that familiar scene. One of the things I love about the teaching of Jesus is he used common, ordinary things with which common people were familiar, like planting and harvesting a crop. He used lessons with which each of us could identify to teach very important spiritual truths. So what we have in this chapter is a series of snapshots concerning what we might call a life of Christian discipleship. Again, the kingdom of God is a topic that is very broad, and to be able to explain it in very neat and concise terms is impossible. So what Jesus does is he tells stories about each aspect, various facets of kingdom living. And when you put them all together, like taking pictures of one nature scene, various snapshots, and cutting and pasting them to make a large panoramic view, that's what Jesus is doing in this chapter. Each of these parables concerns one of the many facets of kingdom living. And when you put them together, a comprehensive picture of the kingdom of heaven comes into focus. Now, the particular lesson that we taught last week was from verses 44 to 46 in this chapter. And the reason I dealt with it first is because it deals with the first step in entering the kingdom of God. It deals with what we might call gospel conversion. That was the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. And it teaches this lesson that Christian discipleship begins with the discovery of a very great treasure. A treasure that is so priceless that it should lead to great personal sacrifice on our part to possess it and procure it. The kingdom of God, my beloved, is a great treasure. And you and I should be willing to sell all that we have, to sell out, in order to purchase that one pearl of great price. Kingdom living begins with conversion. Today, the main lesson conveyed in this parable, the parable of the sower, is simply this, that a proper reception of God's word is crucial to a life of productive discipleship in the kingdom of God. The proper reception of God's word is basic and fundamental to being productive as a Christian. If you and I want to live in the kingdom of God, it requires receiving the seed of the word of God into honest and good hearts, into the soil that brings forth a harvest. The portrait again, the image, the metaphor is a farmer planting his crops, an agricultural image. You know, America's becoming more and more of a technology-centered country. But it used to be an agrarian society. It used to be an agricultural kind of climate. And most of us grew up in an America that depended on the family farm. And planting crops, planting seeds was vital. It was very important. And Jesus uses this imagery now to teach us the importance of Bible-centered living. So you see, each of these is a snapshot. What is the kingdom of God like? Well, it is a great treasure, and you and I should be willing to sacrifice everything to buy it. What is the kingdom of God like? It requires regular intake and assimilation of the word of God. It requires exposure to and reception of God's word of the Bible on a regular, ongoing basis into our hearts. That's a snapshot of kingdom living. And you put them all together again, and you have this idea of what the kingdom of God is like. Now, in the metaphor, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed seed. And of course, farmers in that day did not drill their seed, you know, with a planter like you would see today. They generally broadcasted their seed. You've probably seen, even in third world countries today, agricultural people will have a bag of seed on his or her side, and they'll go out and they'll spread the seed into ground that has been tilled, and it will germinate, and a harvest will eventually grow if everything works out. But while you're broadcasting seed, of course, some of it falls out of the furrows. Some of it is liable to fall on the path. You know, usually around every garden spot or every farm, there is a path, a tractor path, or a path of travel that it, where the ground is harder. It hasn't been furrowed, it hasn't been deep plowed, it hasn't been broken up, and if seed falls on the cart path, then obviously it's not going to germinate because it doesn't have any soil, or the ground is too packed. And that's the image here. A sower went out to sow, and some of the seed fell by the wayside. Other seed, he says, fell among the rocks. So here's a particular patch that's very rocky or stony, and it doesn't have much depth of earth. May have a little soil, but not enough to develop a good root system. And when the sun rises to its zenith, then it bakes the plant because it doesn't have enough depth of earth to survive the heat of the sun, and it withers and dies. And some falls among thorns. You know, one of my first jobs as a young adolescent on the plains of West Texas was hoeing cotton. And what they meant by hoeing cotton is hoeing the weeds. If I hoed the actual cotton, I'd got in trouble. But they wanted me to hoe the weeds from the rows so that the cotton plant could grow without any distraction, you know. And when a sower goes out to sow, some of the seed falls among the thorns on thorny ground. But some fell on good ground. And may I say, I've been every one of these hearers. You see, the different soils in this parable has to do with how we receive the word of God. And I've been the wayside hearer before, where I didn't grasp or understand what was being said. And the fowls of the air came and plucked the seed up. You know, it fell on the cart path, and the birds came and ate it off the ground before it could germinate. I've been that kind of hearer. He explains that in verse 19. When someone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the wicked one comes and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that received seed by the wayside. That's Jesus' explanation. I've also been the stony ground hearer, where there were too many rocks. He describes or explains this in verse 20. He that receives seed into the stony places is someone that hears the word and receives it at first with joy, but because he has no root in himself, when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. This is someone who received the seed, that is, they've heard the word and they've enjoyed it and found comfort in it, but it doesn't last long because they realize that it comes with trouble and difficulty. The problems of serving Jesus Christ, they think, are greater than the benefits of it. That's the stony ground hearer. Then he explains the thorny ground hearer in verse 22. He that receives seed among the thorns is somebody that hears the word, but yet the cares of this world, that is the ordinary cares of life, like I've got to get the kids to the doctor, school starts at this time, I've got to get the oil changed in the car, let's see, we need more groceries, you know, just the cares of life, the ordinary cares of life, which there's nothing wrong with these. We all have that, don't we? There's not a one of us who doesn't face the ordinary cares of life. He says, sometimes when we hear the word, we're so distracted by the 101 other things that are going on around us that we don't get the benefit from the word of God like we should. You know, I suspect in every congregation, there are people at every level described in the parable of the sower. There are probably people here this morning who just really don't understand Christian lingo. They're not familiar with the Bible. They have a basic familiarity, but yet there's a lack of understanding of key Bible concepts. And we understand that. That's true in each of our lives at a certain point, isn't it? You know, when you're starting out, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know is a wonderful song, but yet when you start talking about the substitutionary atonement, Jesus dying on the cross in the stead of others, when you start talking about the doctrine of the resurrection, when you start talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration and the new birth when a person's born again, you say, all of that is too advanced for my level of education. And sometimes a good bit of preaching doesn't bring forth a harvest in the lives of people like that because they lack understanding. That's what Jesus said. He that receives seed by the wayside is a person who lacks understanding. And in a congregation like this, you're going to have people who are wayside hearers. You're going to have some people who are stony ground hearers who say, okay, I want to serve the Lord, but then you realize that serving the Lord isn't quite as easy as you first thought that it was. Tribulation ariseth because of the word. Persecution arises. The world's not going to embrace you and love you, and you think the cost of discipleship is too great. You see, that's the stony ground hearer. Then the thorny ground hearer is somebody who is just so frazzled and distracted with the cares of this life. They've got too many places to go, people to see, and things to do. Their daytimer's full, you know. What's on your agenda for Monday? Maybe you've been here this morning and you've been singing the songs and you've heard the prayer and you've heard this portion of my sermon, but you say, it's hard for me to concentrate. I've got so many things going on. That's like thorns choking the plant. You know, that's like too many careless weeds around the cotton stalk. Some of you folks have grown up on farms and you know that you better keep the weeds away or you have a garden spot. And if you let the weeds take over, and they will before you know it, won't they? And may I say, there are a bunch of weeds in life that'll choke out the word of God so that it doesn't bring forth the benefit that it could in your life and mine. You can hear the sermon, you say, oh, that's a good sermon, but before you know it, you know, you're burning the candle at both ends, you're running 90 to nothing, you know, you're just frazzled like Martha was when Jesus came to visit. You remember? Jesus came to visit, Mary sitting in there listening to his words, and Martha's slaving away in the kitchen getting, you know, her blood pressure's rising by the minute. As she thinks about that sorry sister of mine in there loafing while I'm in here working, trying to get the meal prepared, and finally it gets the best of her, and she bursts into the room, and she just basically critiques them both, says, Lord, don't you care that my sister is left? Instead of saying, Mary, may I have a word with you, please? I don't mean to interrupt, but may I say, Mary, I need help in here. You know, instead of handling like that, she just lets her emotions get the best of her. I know you've never done that, have you? She's just frazzled. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. The word careful means you're full of anxiety. Martha, you're just coming apart at the seams. Life's out of focus for you. Martha, calm down. That's what he's saying. He's saying, Martha, Martha, one thing is needful. You know, just a bowl of soup would be fine. You don't have to prepare a 15-course meal. You don't have to put on the Ritz for me. Martha, Martha, he says, Mary has chosen the good part. How often do you have Jesus in your house as a guest? And this is time to enjoy my presence, not to worry about getting everything perfect. Now, Martha is to be admired for her industry. We need the Marthas around, don't we? Praise God for the Marthas that'll work their fingers to the bone. You know, we couldn't have a meeting like we're about to have if we didn't have a few Marthas. But in the course of getting everything ready and doing the work that needs to be done to get everything set up and getting the meals planned, and in the course of all of that, my friends, don't forget to sit at Jesus' feet and to hear his word, because that's the good part. And Mary has chosen the good part. One thing is needful, the one thing needful. You know, sometimes I need to just stop and just take a deep breath and say, okay, let's simplify life. Life's getting far too complicated. And let's simplify life. What really is essential and what is cosmetic? What's a necessity and what is a luxury? I have to ask myself questions like that and say, this is what I really need. We need, you know, we need something to eat. We need to rest. You say, well, I've got too many things to do to rest. No, sometimes you have to just cut to the chase, boil it down to brass tacks. You know, you have to distill the 101 responsibilities that you have in life to the point that you can say, okay, this is what really matters. I want to keep my sanity and I want to serve the Lord. That's number one. Let's get our priorities back in order. So the cares of this life, the distracted hearer. You see, here's the thought. We're in the kingdom of God. We're trying to serve him. It starts by seeing how valuable it is. It's a treasure hidden in this world, and I want to buy it. I want to possess it. That's a very important lesson for kingdom living. And here's another lesson. If you're going to live the life of Christian discipleship, my friends, you need regular exposure to, and you need to receive the word of God into a good heart. It is impossible to live a godly Christian life without regular and healthy exposure to the word of God. Again, I say it's impossible. I don't know of anybody who will be faithful to the Lord and will bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in his or her life, that will be productive, whose life will count for the glory of Christ. I don't know of anybody, my friends, who is a fruitful Christian who doesn't regularly expose himself or herself to the Bible. Bible-centered living is a part of the kingdom of God. In fact, it's a fundamental part. I think that's probably why Jesus addresses it first. The seed, says in Luke's version of this parable, is the word of God. You know, that's a simple, unforgettable image. Do you know what your Bible is? It's like seed. Now, you may know that there was a time when seed was very valuable. I'll never forget how surprised I was as just a wee little boy the first time I heard the story of Jack and the Beanstalk. And what surprised me was that he would put such a value on a seed. You know, I mean, I thought, what? Seeds? Important? But if you've ever been a farmer, you know that seeds are very important. What is one of the best times of year if you're an agricultural kind of person? When this new seed catalogs come out, right? Those seed catalogs come in the mail, you say, yippee, happy day. And the Farmer's Almanac comes out for the year. You say, look at all these plants I could grow. I could grow all these new flowers, all of these new trees, seed. Is very valuable. Now, modern people wouldn't understand what we're talking about. Modern people would say microchips are very valuable. You know, the new microchip catalog comes out and you say, yes, this is what, but old timers know what value seeds had. And the reason I was so surprised when I heard the story of Jack and the Beanstalk is that Jack would spend all of his money for just some magic seeds. You know, I thought, what in the world? What a waste of money. But you probably have heard the stories of Johnny Appleseed. Johnny Appleseed, whose real name was Johnny Chapman, was sort of a vagrant. He was unkempt, and he traveled from place to place, primarily in Pennsylvania and Ohio and Illinois, Indiana, West Virginia, Kentucky. He traveled from place to place planting apple trees. He carried with him apple seeds, and many of the apple farms and apple orchards and the proliferation of apples in the Ohio Valley is due to the influence of this Swedenborgian. That's what he was. He was a Swedenborgian missionary who carried apple seeds with him, and he would plant them all over the Ohio Valley, and he was considered to be legendary. I mean, his name became, he became known as Johnny Appleseed, the man that has the apple seeds. Old timers understood that seeds were valuable, and I want to tell you the Word of God is valuable. Like seed, the seed is the Word of God. God's Word, my beloved, is a precious treasure. Now, I wonder if you would agree. Many modern people today would say, I've got a Bible, but I scarce crack it open. It sits on my shelf. I use it to make a booster seat for my grandchildren when they come to visit, you know. You know how you'll take old books and you'll put them down on the seat to, so that the child can sit higher. And you say, I use it as a doorstop. I use it as a dust collector on my coffee table, but I seldom crack its lids open. Brother Mike, I'm not a reader. Well, I want to tell you that the person who doesn't read is really no better than the person who can't read. It's very important to read the Word of God. And if you don't read it, you can listen to it. With technology today, you can listen to it read to you on an app, on your smartphone or on your computer. You can listen to it. Or you can hear it preached on a weekly basis. You know, if you came this morning just to hear Brother Mike's weekly observations, Brother Mike's opinion, his ideas, his TED Talk, I dare say it probably would be of very little value. In fact, you're wasting your time. But if we're here to hear the Word of God, this is crucial. What we're doing here this morning is crucial if we're going to take advantage of the kingdom blessings. If we're going to live in the kingdom, we've got to regularly receive the Word. Because there are so many distractions in this world, the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. That's the stony ground hearer. Like seed, God's word is precious. Psalm 126 and 6 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed. Now, as you journey along life's pathway, maybe your heart is heavy and your eyes are filled with tears and you're proceeding on your pilgrimage of discipleship and you're weeping, you're carrying heavy burdens, but I'm telling you, if you're carrying precious seed with you, then you're a blessed character. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed. Notice that adjective, precious. It's rare, it's valuable, it's costly. This book, my beloved, is a treasure. In fact, in a day when Bibles were less plentiful than they are now, at least in our country, people would pay huge sums of money. They would go to great lengths to procure a copy of the Scriptures because the Bible is such a precious treasure. How sad often that I just neglect it. I need to listen to it every time that I can. I find when I hear the Scriptures that it just sets my whole world into focus. I find all of the pressure and stress inside my thinking is alleviated. It all dispels whenever I am reminded of ultimate truth, the eternal verities of the Word of God. God's Word, my friends, is a precious treasure. How would you feel if you couldn't listen to God's Word read, taught, if you couldn't read it yourself, if you didn't have access to it? How would you feel? You say, I wouldn't be any worse for wear, Brother Mike. I suggest you would. You wouldn't be able to live in the kingdom. You wouldn't be able to bear fruit. In fact, you know what happens if we rely on our own inner light instead of the objective revelation of God in Scripture? Our inner light, I dare say, is complicated by the old sin nature that each of us has. We need objective truth that God has given us in this book. The church is a people of the book. You know, our religion is based on a book, not just somebody's ideas. There are three world religions that are based on books. Islam is based on the Quran. Judaism is based on the Torah, the law of Moses. Christianity is based on the Bible, the Old Testament and the New, which is given by divine inspiration. Now, other religions are based on some man's ideas, some mystical feeling, whether we talk about Buddhism, Hinduism, Confucianism, Taoism, Hare Krishna. It's all based on the inner light that somebody professes to have. I'm telling you, God has spoken. God has revealed. God has given us His Word, and He's protected this book. Do you know the Bible remains the number one bestseller of all literature in all history? It remains that to this day. Now, it sells a lot, but you know, all you have to do is watch an episode of Jeopardy! And notice how the contestants avoid the Bible category like the plague. You know, it's the last thing. And that's where all the Daily Doubles are usually. But anyway, it's the last thing that they look for. They don't want the Bible because there is an abysmal lack of knowledge concerning the Bible in modern culture today. Do you know why that is? Because people don't go to church. They don't crack the Bible open. They don't read it. If you had no knowledge of anything except the truth of God's Word and you breathed your last breath, you say, that person didn't know anything except the Bible. I'm telling you, that person knew everything that needs to be known. Your Bible is the most precious resource you have. It's the only tangible link, something you can see, touch, and feel. Something that you can put your hands on. It's the only tangible thing that you and I have that connects to heaven. You say, well, I've got prayer, but you can't put your hands on prayer. Yeah, it's something you do, but here's something that is no mere human production. Of course, a publishing house printed it. Trees were cut down to make the paper, and ink was captured in order to set the type, and binding was put on this. It's a book that was produced in ordinary human ways, but I'm telling you, the truths that it contains came from heaven above. I believe in the inspiration and the authority of Scripture. I believe that this book is inerrant, that this book came from God. It is the truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." The seed is the word of God. And like seed, the word of God must be planted or sown, as the word is used in our text, in order to produce a harvest. Seed that's kept in the packet on the shelf is not going to be much good. What does it take for a seed to produce a harvest? Let's say it's corn seed, seed corn. How will seed corn ever produce several ears of corn, a stalk with several ears? You say, I've got corn seed. I think I'll keep it on my shelf. Hopefully it'll give me some corn. It will never give you corn unless you sow it. It has to be planted, right? And then it's going to take a while to germinate. The Word of God's like that. As long as we keep it sequestered from ordinary life, it's not going to produce any benefit in our lives. We need to listen to it. We need to receive it. We need to talk about it. We need to take it in. We need to assimilate it. And then over time, it has the potential of producing a harvest, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. That's a bumper harvest. Now, it's going to do some good in the life of the believer at various levels, some 30, some 60, some 100. You know, sometimes you get a bigger crop than you do other years. But yet, the Word of God, when it's sown, will produce a harvest. And then, like seed, the Word of God does not change the nature of the soil. It was never the intention of a seed to change the nature of the soil. God's Word will not change your nature. Somebody says, all we got to do is preach to the unregenerate and that'll get them born again. No, the seed does not change the nature of the soil. All it does is it reveals and it responds to the soil in which it's planted. What I'm saying is the Bible is not the instrument for getting people born again. The Bible reveals a good heart that God has already given you. It reveals and it responds to the nature of the soil. The seed does not change the nature of the soil. And just as seeds need the warmth of sunshine and the moisture of rainfall in order to grow, so the word that is sown needs the blessing of Jesus Christ and the sweet influences of the Holy Spirit in order to produce a harvest in our lives. It's God that gives the increase. I can sow, another preacher can water, but God gives the increase. We need His blessing upon it. And you know, just like one seed multiplies, you plant one seed, how many ears of corn do you get from that one corn seed? Several. And each roasting ear has rows and columns of corn on it. I mean, it multiplies, so God's word grows and multiplies in the lives of believers. I love Paul's words in Colossians 1:5 when he says, "You heard the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and it brings forth fruit." That word brings forth fruit, as it does also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Again, I emphasize this morning, few things are more important in the life of discipleship than how a person receives God's word. You say, "Well, Brother Mike, how should I receive God's word?" Well, eagerly. Acts 17:11 says the saints at Berea were more noble than those at Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. When you sit on that pew, my friends, to hear the weekly sermon from this pulpit, it's important to have your pump already primed. You know, I've got a lawnmower that I have to push the button about 25 times. It says 10 times, but 10 doesn't work. I have to push it 25 times and have to be very deliberate about it. You know, I mean, I've about pulled my shoulder out of socket trying to crank that thing. So I have to prime the pump and then it'll crank. You know, we need to prime the pump before we come to the house of God on Sundays. If you're like me, I've gone to church before and I've sat through 30 minutes of singing and heard about 40 minutes of preaching out of a 45 or 50 minute sermon. And I'm like, right at the end, I'm starting to warm up. And it's over. And if I would have already been ready when I got there, if I'd have been reading during the week and listening to hymns and keeping my mind in the proper frame, and I got to church, I could have benefited from the word go. I could have hit the ground running. It's so important. The seed is the word of God, and we're to receive it eagerly. Like those saints at Berea, they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were ready. And then they went home and searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. Don't just accept what a preacher says because he said it. You say, "Well, he must know what he's talking about. He's an ordained preacher." No, my friends, go home and check it out for yourself. We believe in the right of private judgment. We have access to the word of God, and we can go home and check it out and see if that's what it means. Relying on the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. And then you're to receive the word with reverence. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "But we are thankful, brethren, that when you received the word from us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." You know, it's so important when we come to the house of God to say, "Lord, speak. Give me the message you want me to have today." Instead of just say, "Well, I went to hear Brother Goins' sermon and he just didn't quite have it today." Come and say, "Lord, speak to me through your word." If you'll come with that attitude, if you'll come hearing it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of the living God, it'll make a difference in your life. And then receive it with meekness. That is humility and submission. James 1:21 says, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." So many times people hear the word of God with an editorial kind of attitude. That is, they say, "Okay, I'm going to see whether I agree with this or not." Like man has the right to edit God or to sit in judgment of God. My beloved, if we'll come humbly and we'll say, "Lord, speak to me and let me submit myself to your word," it will make a difference in your life. Few things, again, I say, are more important in the life of Christian discipleship than how you and I receive God's word. Do we receive it eagerly? Are you ready? Do you receive it reverently, saying, "This is the word of God"? Not just Brother Mike's weekly sermon, but it's God's word. And do you receive it submissively and meekly? "I want to bend my life to the truth of Scripture." It is simply not possible. I believe this is the lesson of Psalm 1, verse 2, when he says that the blessed man is one who meditates in the law of God day and night, for he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit. He's going to be strong, stable, and productive. I don't think it's possible, according to that verse, to grow spiritually without regular exposure and intake of the Scriptures. Now, there are some impediments to properly benefiting from the Scriptures. Again, the lack of understanding, that's the wayside hearer. Unrealistic expectations, that's the stony ground hearer who receives the word, but then when they see what it costs, when they realize the cost of discipleship, because of tribulation or persecution, they are offended. That is, they stumble, they trip up at that point. Somebody says, I thought if I served the Lord that everything would go right. And preacher, I started serving the Lord and all I'm having are troubles. People don't like it. The devil's after me. You know, you think the devil's after you, he'll really get after you once you start serving the Lord. You're not immune, and I'm not immune just because we're Christians from problems and trials. And some people are offended by that. Those are stony ground hearers. Remember the words of the hymn, God is not promised, sky is always blue. Do you know that today? Don't have unrealistic expectations. A trouble-free and hassle-free life is a promise for the next world, not this one. Not this one. While we're here, we're going to have problems, but God has promised strength is our day and His grace sufficient to carry us through. And then what about worldly distractions? That's the thorny ground hearer. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, you know, wealth, you think, oh, that's where it's at. But, you know, it'll fool you. There are many billionaires who are very unhappy on the inside. Many people who are set up financially who feel very lonely in this world. You know, money can't make you happy. The deceitfulness of riches. Some people are saying, this is what I want in life. But yet the word never quite benefits them because of their ambition or the pleasures of this life, as Luke chapter 8 calls it, pleasures. You say, I just want to have fun, Brother Mike. I want to watch my baseball team win the Super Region. That's all that I'm living for. You know, I want to go to the College World Series. And this is everything to me. I want my team to win the championship. My friends, all of that's well and good, but that can prove to be a distraction to living in the kingdom of God and serving Jesus Christ. I've been each of these hearers, the stony ground, the thorny ground, the wayside hearer. Instead, verse 23 of our text says, he that receives seed into the good ground is he that received the word and he understands it, and he also bears fruit, and he brings forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Oh, that we would come with hearts that are prepared, minds that are engaged, and ears that are tuned to the word like Samuel when Eli counseled him to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, waiting for thy gracious word. Lord, I'm ready to hear the message you have for me. If we would come with that attitude, my friends, the result will be that we'll bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. The hymn writer put it like this, Father of mercies, in thy word, what endless glory shines. Forever be thy name adored for these celestial lines. Oh, listen to this rich poetry, my friend. Here may the blind and hungry come and light and food receive. Here shall the meanest guest have room and taste and see and live. Here, the Redeemer's welcome voice spreads heavenly peace around, and life and everlasting joys attend the blissful sound. Here, springs of consolation rise to cheer the fainting mind, and thirsty souls receive supplies and sweet refreshment find. Here's the hymn writer's prayer. Oh, may these heavenly pages be my ever dear delight. And still new beauties may I see, and still increasing light. Divine instructor, gracious Lord, be thou forever near. Teach me to love thy sacred word, and view my Savior there. Kingdom living, my friends, depends on a Bible-centered kind of lifestyle. May God help us to make proper use of this blessed book, such a great treasure, this next week and throughout the rest of our lives, for those who do it, who use it properly, and who receive it and are humble to it, are more productive. They are fruit bearers in the kingdom of God.
Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of birth in vain to me are calling.
Salvation.